On this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
I really don't think people understand the power of a peaceful home, the stability of it, and what it brings to your children and to your husband. And
how do you force screen time rules? We just don't. We instead focus on educating about the consequences and focusing on what's important in life. And if you're purpose-filled and focused on what's important in life, you don't need rules.
It'd be a little weird to me if the world knew that you're the son of the dad who ate a raw testicle, but other than that, it's pretty good.
Health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
Hey, for everybody listening in, you've got the whole Greenfield family right here.
It's finally happening.
It's happened before. I feel like we've been able to herd all of us cats together before and get down in front of the mics. But, you know, I was supposed to be in Austin, Texas all week this week and wound up kind of hurting my knee and having to stay home. And we decided we wanted to sit around our giant dining room table here, which is made of, what's it made out of? Again, I forget. Tarred.
Wood.
Pine. Obviously, it's wood. Pine.
Yes, it is hard.
Faux wood. It's a giant pine table. Maybe even later on, we'll get to talk to folks about some of the cool functions of family dinners and rituals and routines we have around this table. Although I just made it sound like we sacrificed little baby birds or something on
the table.
No,
it's not those kind of rituals.
But we have some good times that happen here at this family table. And we decided we'd sit down and record a podcast for all of you. And we put out a post on Instagram and on Facebook asking you for questions that you would want to ask us if all four of us Greenfields were just sitting around answering your questions as a family. My wife, Jessa, say hello, Jessa.
Hi there.
We used to have like a membership inner circle for the Ben Greenfield website.
Long
you remember that?
A long time ago.
When I realized it wasn't a good idea to like go into business with your wife.
Yeah, it wasn't
at least
good
not for us.
No. Yeah. It works for some people. Didn't work for us.
But you guys have probably seen Jessa before, like in the cookbook and online on some of my Instagram posts. And
she gets seldomly, maybe once in a while, appear.
I think you actually have an Instagram channel that you post like once every few months too.
A year.
Yeah. Because people follow you, but you haven't
posted
anything.
Sorry if you're my friend on Instagram and you're disappointed because like I don't do anything.
With the Twitter account that posted once in 2004.
Yep.
And then, of course, River and Terrence, say hello, guys.
Hello.
I got to figure out the pretty link that we'll make for this podcast. Sometimes I make it up while we're recording. What should we tell people to go to for the show notes? BenGreenfieldFitness.com/...
Best Family in the West.
That's way too long. Greenfield 4. Greenfield the number 4, because there's four of us. So go to Greenfield 4 if you want the show notes for today's podcast, because every time we talk about something, I have a crack team on the other end who keeps track of everything. And any books we talk about, any audiobooks, any podcasts, any resources, anything we mention, those will be available at BenGreenfieldFitness.com/4. River and Taryn, you guys want to quickly and shamelessly plug your podcast too? People dig.
Shamelessly?
What you're doing? Or shamefully.
Okay. GoGreenfields.com. It's a food podcast. We make lots of cool foods and recipes.
Food. Yeah.
It's fun.
I know. Makes my life good. I always eat well on the days you guys record those podcasts.
Yes,
recipes. So anyways, like I was saying before I got sidetracked, on Instagram and on Facebook, I put out a post where we asked for all of your questions, and we got some good ones. So so in today's show, we're basically going to reply to as many of your questions. We literally got hundreds of questions, but we picked like, I don't know, probably a dozen or so of them. And some questions, Jessa will probably be talking more. Some River and Terry more. Hopefully me, not so much, because I talk all the time on this podcast and I get sick of it. And before we get going, I should also open my Zevia, of course. Everybody always thinks this podcast is sponsored by soda, but it's just me drinking my guilty addiction, zero sugar, caffeine free, stevia flavored Zevia. I interviewed them once. You know, I interviewed the CEO. Zevia.
Nope.
His name is Patty. interviewed Patty way back in the day because I wanted to know if these cans have metals in them and where they get their stevia and if it's actually, and it actually is pretty good stuff. Like, it's not like fake healthy food. It's actually kind of healthy.
Nice.
So there you have it. That's good.
This totally sounds like a sponsor.
That's good.
favorite flavor of Zevia? Go.
Root beer.
Root beer.
It's ginger root beer, isn't it?
It's the only one I like, but I don't like soda.
Ginger root beer with coconut vanilla ice cream is actually a pretty good root beer float.
I don't really like sodas very much, but root beer would be my favorite.
And we'll warm up since we're on the root beer float question with one other warm-up question for the podcast, and we'll get going.
Okay.
What's everybody's favorite dessert?
Ice cream.
Ice cream? No, but like, well, more specific, like Moose Tracks, Ben and Jerry's Chunky Monkey, Avococo.
There's one that we had in Italy. It's called Sweet Milk.
Milk flavored gelato.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's just like honey and milk.
I don't know. It's really good though.
It's so unfair that you get named a dessert that people have to go all the way to Italy to get.
There's also one more that we also got. Where did we do this?
Chewing your gum, babe.
Sorry, I should take my gum out.
I don't remember where we did it, but it was another type of gelato, but it was a honey gelato, so there was like honeycomb. It was really good.
Honeycomb gelato, I remember that also.
Land of milk and honey. Yeah. That's what they should call that.
Yeah. Mine's gonna be the gluten free carrot cake that you guys make me on my birthday and on Father's Day.
What about the apple crisp?
The apple crisp was pretty good too, but that's a new one. So I haven't quite decoded how much I like that compared to the carrot cake.
Okay.
But I like it a lot. How about you, Taryn? You were the honeycomb?
Probably like a ginger snap cookie. I like
ginger
those.
Snap cookie. Get behind
Mine's
that.
Tough. It's probably something my mom makes. She's probably black bottom pie, which that's nobody good. Would even know what that is.
Or caramel
black
apples.
What is black bottom pie?
It's like a...
Exactly.
Vanilla chiffon on the top, and then there's like this really dense chocolate on the bottom, and it's a pie. It's really good. And you'll never ever get your hands on it because my mom is the only person I know who makes it. I've never seen it anywhere else.
I'll bet I could Google black bottom pie and find
it. Won't be like my mom's.
A bastardization of that recipe somewhere.
Yeah.
That's actually a great segue. Which I never knew what segue meant because I'd see this word when I'd read spelled Sedgeway.
Sedgeway.
And I'd read like Sedgeway. Is that like a scooter? Or is it like a form of transportation? And then I realized it's the same word that I use all the time in my own vernacular.
To transport you to a different conversation.
Yeah, it transports us. It seamlessly and gracefully transports us to the first question of the day, which is, what is a quick and dirty summary of our family history? Like where we even come from? Well, I mean, not dirty like that, even though I guess, I don't know, maybe the part about making
ranchers.
Babies is a little dirty.
Ranchers?
But, not dirty.
Not dirty. okay, so quick and dirty summary of our family history. Jessa and I met in second grade Sunday school.
Yes. Well, I think it was third, actually.
You had a crush on me?
For a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a week.
Because
and then what happened?
I'm a jock and you were a nerd and it just wasn't going to work out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Here we are.
Yeah, mom was a jock.
I got bored.
Mom was a jock. Dad was a nerd, which is kind of like, it's not flipped around now, but I would say if people were to look at us, they'd probably think I was more of a jock than you, even though you're way better of a jock than me. I got to try really hard at
like
sports.
You're like 50-50.
And Jessa doesn't. Yeah, I'm kind of like nerd jock. And Jessa's... Jess is, I don't know.
A jerd.
I just.
Jock queen.
I just do it.
Yeah.
Like they say so, Nike.
Second grade Sunday school, we went to the same church. And even though, like, she decided that I wasn't cool once she realized that, like, all I did was play violin and chess and read books. And I really wasn't a ladies' man.
How romantic.
Yeah, it was very romantic. Anyway, so we knew of each other, and then
at
University of Idaho, like we knew each other's families kind of, sort of, and would see each other occasionally, but we started hanging out together in college at University of Idaho when we were in lifeguarding class together.
Yes.
And we really weren't attracted to each other, like, romantically, but we realized we kind of liked hanging out.
Yeah.
And I was working as an intern at the strength conditioning facility, and I would see Jess every day there lifting because she ran for the track and field team. And we started like studying together and hiking together and hanging out together.
We had
and
friends kinda, that were dating too. That
we had friends who were dating, and we were just kind of besties. Like, we just hung out
a
lot. And then over the course of like probably a week and a half, I started to fall for your mom.
That was quick.
I actually started to find myself physically attracted to her. I remember one night we all went out to a play with some of our friends, and mom was there, and she was wearing like a nice little red skirt and white top. She looked all sexy, and I was sitting by her, and I'm like,
I don't even remember what I was
wearing. And I remember, and I was like, oh geez, I think I'm falling for this girl, and I was attracted to you. And then I was like kicking myself after we left the play for not hitting on you. And then the next night, same thing. We all wound up at a movie theater with a bunch of friends, and it was this old movie. It was an alien movie.
It was
called, I still remember what it was called. It's called Evolution.
It was terrible.
Yeah,
it's the worst movie ever.
And so, so
I'm not even joking.
We got like halfway through that movie, and I did like the pinky lock on mom. Like I just like snuck my hand over and kind of rubbed my pinky on hers and grabbed it, and then she latched on, and from there on out, it was game over.
What?
So.
We were tethered from there on.
Mm-hmm, we were tethered.
It was that pinky lock.
We had our tongues in each other's mouths by the end of that movie.
Grandpa taught it to us.
Grandpa taught it to you?
No.
So, anyways.
With his pinky.
We dated for, what, like a year and a half?
Yeah.
And then we got married.
Yeah.
And then I graduated University of Idaho with my master's degree. You graduated a year before me.
When we got married, we were 21. Yeah. We both had 1 year of college left, and then you went and got your master's.
Yeah. So we got married when we were 21.
Yeah.
And then I got my master's in that last year that last year at Idaho, right after we got married. And then I moved up to Post Falls to work in hip and knee surgical sales. Mom stayed back in Moscow, Idaho.
Yep.
Although she eventually moved up to Post Falls to join me because it's hard for a newlywed couple to not even be living in the same city together.
Yep.
And I worked at that job for like less than a year, hated it, started getting back into what I'd done all through college.
Actually changed your mind about medical school.
Yeah, it changed my mind about wanting to go to medical school, which I had planned on and everything. And I just decided, dude, I love fitness. I love physical culture. Like, this is what I want to do is physiology and biomechanics and training people and nutrition. So that's what I did. And then mom moved up to Spokane. And we lived in Spokane for how many years before we had River and Taryn?
I think like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
We
lived in Spokane, and then we had you guys when we were 25, which I highly recommend
that's
to any.
Not true.
How old?
I was 27.
Ooh.
27. I'm doing the math though. You said it was 3 or 4 years after we were 21.
Yeah, I meant. So you lived in Moscow 2 years or year and a half. Then we moved to Spokane. And it was 3 or 4 years then.
Okay. So it was like,
yeah,
like 4 or 5 years after we got married,
we
had twins.
I was 27 when we had twins.
Yeah. It was like a week after I'd raced. It was a week after I'd raced one of my first Ironman triathlons. And I think we conceived the very first time we actually like tried to conceive without birth protection. And what's that? Ticking noise. That's from my knee. I got a PEMF thing on my knee. And so anyways, I thought maybe since I just raced an Ironman, I was going to have a bunch of messed up genetically modified sperm, and we'd have some crazy three-headed baby. We had twins. Wrong?
Your first Ironman was after they were born.
No, I said one of my... It was my first Ironman.
This is Coraline. Funny.
Yeah. I had my... Right, but we conceived a week after
I
raced.
Yeah, they were okay. They were like 3 months old when you did Ironman.
Right,
okay.
I did the Ironman, and the next week we were like, let's try to have a baby.
No, you didn't do the Ironman.
Yes. So now this is... I guarantee.
Right.
I raced the Ironman, and like a week afterwards...
Something happened.
We decided we want to have a baby.
Something happened.
That's all.
But we wound up with two babies.
Yes.
Okay. So the answer to this question is getting really long. So we promise.
Not long and dirty.
Quick and dirty.
Okay.
So anyways, so we had River and Taryn. And then when we were living in Liberty Lake, and then when we had River and Taryn, we moved to Spokane.
Yes.
And then we have lived in Spokane ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And for about a year after River and Taryn were born, I was continuing to work, managing on my personal training studios and gyms and everything. And then I decided that I wanted to move into the house and spend more time with you guys. So I started doing a lot more of what I do now, which is like speaking and podcasting and writing, and just kind of reinvented this whole new job for myself. And really, that's what I've done ever since. And our family has just kind of grown along the way. But that's where we came from, was Jessica kicking the back of my chair in Sunday school.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, and that's the Greenfield family history in a very, very brief nutshell. Now, I thought this question was really good, but it's basically somebody wanted to know what our key rituals and routines and comings and goings are. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was a great question because our whole family about a month and a half ago did something really magical. Even though we've always really valued traditions, everything from family dinners to what we do for Christmas or Thanksgiving to, you know, just little things, our morning meditation and devotions and evening meditation and devotions and story time and family games, we'd never actually really kind of like systematized that.
Solidified something.
Yeah, into like a playbook for the Greenfield family, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
Right, in the same way that a business might have a logo and a brand and a slogan and a mission statement, why not have that same type of thing for a family? And we met this guy named Rich Christensen, mm-hmm. really cool guy. River and Taryn, you guys were recently on his podcast. Yeah. Super cool dude.
It wasn't a podcast. It was like a
yeah, like a video, like an event. Video
an
show.
Event.
Yeah, yes. Folks can Google him, or I'll link to him in the show notes. Rich Christensen. And what he specializes in is he takes families mm-hmm. together and he helps them develop everything from, I mean, we went down to his cabin in Salt Lake,
yeah,
even though
awesome.
they do a lot of this work just online with people, mm-hmm. but everything from like each family member's spirit animal and color and logo and what values that the family holds dear. And then we weave that all together into a mission statement and a logo and a crest and like this whole playbook that says, okay, when the kids are 8, we do this. When they're 16, we do this. When they're 25, we do this. And it's really cool because, and we have it now as a Word document. We're getting the big crest that we designed over the fireplace. Mm-hmm. But it's a great way to develop this deep sense of legacy for a family. Mm-hmm. And as a part of that experience, we did have a chance to sit down and think about, okay, well, what do we do right now that we feel has really bonded us or formed us as a family, as our key rituals and routines and habits that we hold dear. And so I thought we could share a few of the ones that we have found to be really helpful for our family to kind of like maintain togetherness and tradition. So the first one is when we wake up in the morning.
Oh, meditation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Meditation. That's probably the first time that we actually come together as a family.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, you know, I get up usually like, you know, anytime between 4:30 and 5:30. Mom's lazy ass stays in bed till like 7.
Wow. Wow. I'm actually up. You just don't know.
7?
You stay in bed for a good hour after me. But granted, I take an afternoon nap and Mom doesn't. So that's, I always tell myself
that.
I'm
going
to get to force her to get up with me. Plus, I like my morning alone time. Mom knows that. Like if Mom gets up at the same time as me, I've got my blue light blocking glasses on and I'm walking through the house after her. Like turning off the lights and so the house is Dad's domain early in the morning. But usually when everybody's up and everybody's kind of like had their coffee or fed the goats
coffee?
And chickens, or well, you guys don't do coffee, but Mom and I often do. Mm-hmm. We come together as a family typically sometime between about 7:30 and 8 a.m. Dad gathers the family, and that's the first time that we have an official structured thing of the day. Mm-hmm. In most cases. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it before on a podcast, but we meditate together.
Mm-hmm. Right? Or listen to a song.
Sometimes we listen to a really uplifting song.
Our spiritual disciplines.
Yep. Sometimes we'll go through like a chapter from our spiritual disciplines handbook, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, this morning's, what was this morning's on?
It was on hourly prayer.
Like,
hourly.
Having times of the day, kind of like when we're in Dubai and we hear like the bells go off and you know, that's for like the Islam religion, and everybody, you know, bows to the, I think it's the north, the south, the east and the west. Hopefully I'm not totally messing up my description of this, but they have certain times,
they have certain
like
certain direction that they,
prayer times. Yeah. And that's what this morning's lesson was about. It was like, try this for a week, like have an alarm go off at whatever, 7 a.m., noon and 6 p.m. that reminds you to just stop and say the Lord's Prayer, for example. Mm-hmm. But we go through these disciplines each week, but most mornings we just meditate. We use the spiritual disciplines journal. We write down what it is we're grateful for, who it is we want to pray for or help or serve that day. Mm-hmm. We play the meditation bells and we breathe and we do some tapping and some gratitude. And then we finish with a prayer.
And hug.
And then a giant family hug.
My favorite.
Mm-hmm. Giant family hug. And then that's how we start the day. And sometimes we'll have a quick family meeting about, you know, when are you doing this? When are you doing that? What's the plan for the day? When are we having dinner? Who's cooking? What's for dinner? And then we kind of all like scatter, like, you know, to the four corners of the planet, doing all of our things all day.
Yep.
And then what happens at, and even though it's not like we're total ships in the night, because dad works from home and
we're all at home.
Mom's a homemaker
time,
and
yeah.
River
yeah.
and Taryn are unschooled, so you guys are at home a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And so we're all kind of seeing each other and still,
well, we all have
you
our
know,
own.
Yeah,
we see each other, but it's not like.
Touch-ins and yeah. catch-ups. Yeah. But then at the end of the day, and I think this is really important for a family, we all come together at the end of the day. Some families do this for breakfast. Others will have a lunch together, but we have these big family dinners. And that would be the second thing that comes to mind for me, in addition to that morning meditation, is like our big family dinners. What happens at the family dinners,
well,
guys?
We start like Bible, like reviewing what we read for the Bible today or memory verse or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. we sing a song most of the time, not always. And then we do a prayer. Usually dad's like finish up cooking or something, but we pick out games.
He gets all his sauces.
Yeah, gets all his sauces and stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Usually these days dad does the meats and somebody else does the sides. And
someone else is taking out sauces.
Yep.
Yep. Sorry, and we
put out a great big old spread of food. And then what do we do? Game.
A lot of times we play games.
It's a lot of games. But
we like games.
We have a massive game closet.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one our favorite is.
And we're always buying new games. Like our family rarely buys movies. Like the thing that
I bought a movie.
No, we rarely watch movies. But the thing that we just like don't even think about budgeting and don't even think twice about spending money on are probably books and games.
Games, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll buy a game for like $25 from Barnes & Noble or Amazon. And it'll be like the best $25 we spend all month because we'll just have this game that we gather around and laugh with and play. And it's kind of cool because nobody's thinking about being on their phone during dinner.
Yeah.
Nobody's thinking about what they got to do next after dinner. We're just all immersed in laughter.
Yeah.
And also, excuse me, I was thinking about this. I'm belching my Zevia soda. Game theory. This idea that like, because I've watched you guys, River and Taryn, become really good at stuff like logic and rhetoric and math and reasoning
logic,
and argument just via game theory. I mean, even logic, like if your unstable unicorn is in your stable at the beginning of your turn, then XYZ activates, you know, that's all logic. Same way computer programs work, but it's in a very fun learning environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so we typically eat dinner around 7 or 7:30, and we're usually not done playing games till like 8:30.
Yeah, 8:30, and sometimes 9.
Yeah, sometimes later if we play
game.
Like, you know, what's that new game we're playing right now? Fort, you know, for example, like a longer game.
Soon to be Catan.
I still don't get that one.
You'll get it.
Yeah,
you'll pick it up. But that's the cool thing about games too, is there'll be some new game that looks super intimidating that you're like, there's no way I'm ever going to learn all the rules and how to play this. And within a week, you feel like you've grown new brain cells just learning this new game. So it's great for bringing a family together. It's great for learning. It's great for game theory. And I think that's another big like thing that brings our family together. That's a definite keeper for a ritual or a routine.
Definitely.
And then occasionally we'll like say, oh, let's watch MasterChef or let's
that's
try. And then afterwards, we're always like, why did we do that? Watching TV sucks during dinner. We just like to play games.
Yeah.
And then what about after dinner?
Cleaning
up. There's another kind of bookend.
Everybody cleans up together.
Sometimes literally a bookend because we're reading books. And basically, let's see, we clean all the dishes, go upstairs, and then we all meet usually in our room.
Yep.
And we read some sort of book. I think during Christmas we read A Christmas Child?
We're not incredibly consistent on story time, but we like to when we can
find a good book.
Have story time. When we find a good book, and it's difficult to find a book that's like a really good book to read together, but yeah, like The Boy Called Christmas was a really good one we read over Christmas. We have a whole bunch of collections of short stories, you know, like The Book of Virtues. Who wrote that one? William?
Oh, it's a compilation.
Bennett. Yeah, it's a compilation, but it's assembled by someone.
So there's a lot of strange poems in that.
I find the sweet spot. Yeah. Usually, if you can find a story that you can read in like 10 to 15 minutes, or a longer book with chapters that take like 10 to 15 minutes to read, that's kind of a sweet spot for a story.
There was that one that Grandma Annie and Grandpa Dave got you, the one that the Wild West one. That one was interesting.
That was a good one. Stories of the Wild Wild West.
And Half Magic.
Half Magic was good. I think it's great for families to have like a collection of books that you can just grab and read at night.
Yeah.
And we don't know how much longer we'll keep doing that. We had that discussion on a family hike a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I asked River and Tara, I'm like, are you guys sick of Dad reading you stories at night? He said, not yet. I said, okay, well, I'll keep asking that when you say...
We don't do it very often, though.
Yeah, we haven't been doing it too much lately.
Because the book's got to speak to us.
It's easier when there's a season coming up, like Christmas, and you're just like going through a Christmas book together or something like that. So I would say maybe like 40% of the time we do a story, but almost all the time we do a song, we do a prayer, we get out our spiritual disciplines journal again and do the evening part of that, which is what, guys?
Like basically like reviewing what you did for the day, like what you did good
bad,
what you're,
how'd you feel about your purpose?
Not what you did bad, but what you could have done better. Like what you failed from, what you could have done better.
What you learned from.
And where were you most purpose-filled with your life? Yep. Yeah. And so we've got our morning meditation, we've got our evening meditation, we have our family dinners, and then I would say another couple of things that come to mind for me would be almost every week we'll have some type of gathering at our house where we have a whole bunch of people in the community over, new friends, old friends, family members. Yeah. We'll do a barbecue, we'll cook stuff up, sometimes it's potluck style, everybody brings something.
A theme.
And that's pretty cool to be able to not only serve others and share what God has given us with others, but also it's a really, really cool way to meet new people and to foster community. And to me, I don't know what you guys think about it, but I just feel like, you know, we've been doing that for probably like 4 years now, and we started doing it even more intensively during COVID. And it's just kind of like a cool way to bring people together.
My favorite was the popsicle party.
Yeah, a lot of times we'll do themes like music, or we got a new karaoke machine, so the next one's karaoke, wear your funny socks or funny hat. But yeah, doing themes is kind of fun for these family dinners. So I would challenge folks listening in, you know, if you don't have some kind of like a group gathering at your home, you know, on a regular basis, it is kind of cool to bring people together. And it's different than the family dinners when you have a whole bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've
only done two questions.
What else? We have, that's okay. We're going to get through as many questions as we can. We have a family prayer board.
Probably answering some questions.
We keep one big prayer board on a whiteboard in our pantry where anybody that we've said we're going to pray for, we pray for. And a lot of times those prayers are part of our morning prayers or our evening prayers.
Yeah.
That's another one. Family tennis.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, 1 to 2 times a week, we have a certain evening where we go out and we play family tennis, typically before dinner. A lot of times Dad will put something on the smoker or in the sous vide, and then we all get in the car and
go down.
Pile in, drive 10 minutes to the tennis court.
Yep.
Sabbath day, like that's a big one for us. Every Sunday is more like rest, relaxation, frisbee golf, hiking, cornhole, you know, hot tub, you know, whatever seems to be like a little bit more relaxing. I would say that like some of those things we've just rattled off would be...
Those are like our daily, weekly.
Yeah. And then when we travel, what are the two things we try to do when we travel? That's like a Greenfield thing when we're in a new city or new location.
Get gelato.
Well, gelato, that's one, but...
I didn't know that one.
escape rooms is what I was thinking of.
Yep.
We usually will always try and hunt down an escape room in whatever city we're in, and then a cooking class.
Yeah.
Like, especially if we're in a different country. Mm-hmm. That's like the Greenfield thing, is when we go to a different country or different city, we try to find the local escape room and the local cooking class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last one we did was in
Hobosh. Yeah, Hobosh, Mexico.
Hobosh,
yep.
Hobox,
yep.
Something.
Hobosh.
Yeah.
Something with an H and an X.
Yeah, and so what we did with Rich Christensen in this Greenfield family playbook was we just mapped out, you know, what are the rituals and routines that River and Taryn might want to do with their children growing up? What do we do at Christmas, you know, like in terms of like the Christmas Eve dinner, the Advent calendar leading up to Christmas, you know, what presents get opened first on Christmas morning. What do we eat on Christmas? And having that kind of mapped out for each holiday, and then the logos that we can put on hats and t-shirts for family reunions when we got a billion grandkids gathered around.
Yeah.
I mean, each of you guys got to have a half billion kids for us to have a billion grandkids. Just do the math. I would say just spitballing our answer to like some of the key rituals and routines that have been meaningful to our family.
Yeah, and a lot of them have stemmed from traditions and rituals that have already pre-existed from our families, like my family and Ben's family, and so
right, and every family,
which is the point of writing it down, is so that it gets passed down and not forgotten. Mm-hmm. I think it creates a lot of like unity and a little bit of pride of where you've come from.
You know?
Like to not forget that kind of stuff and realize that it's been passed down by people, some people you've never met and some people that you hold real dear. So.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, and so. I think that really the main thing I would love to get across to our listeners is, you know, this idea of not just kind of loosey-goosey having at the back of your mind what type of things your family might do together, but actually having, you know, it might sound almost like too systematized or too cold and scheduled to actually write these things down, but it is important.
Like, I think it's really important for young kids too, because I was like, they're all trying to figure out like their place in life and what, you know, trying to figure out how to wield their strengths and whatever, you know, and sometimes it can come out in like anger and aggression because nobody's paying attention. But when you have these things in place where they really do feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves, I think it's really healthy for kids to have that because it's a security thing.
Yeah, every business has like a playbook and values and branding statements and mission statements all written out. Mm-hmm. And I think that not enough families do the same thing for their families. So I would challenge our listeners to think about, you know, doing something similar. And I'll link to that guy's, I don't have any financial affiliation or with him or whatever, but that Rich Christensen guy, he does a really good job with this stuff. So he's super passionate about it. Don't have to like go to Salt Lake and do it with him in his cabin. Like he's got it scaled
that
online
too.
You know, like a little book he sends out. It was pretty fun. So a lot of people are curious about Jessa and about River and Taryn. So typical day in the life of Jessa Greenfield. Typical day in the life.
Oh, geez. I feel like it changes pretty regularly, but and seasonally it's very different. Okay. What I do in the summer is way different than what I do in the winter.
Staples.
Yeah, but like what do you do when you get up? What time do you get up? Do you have any morning routines?
So I get up between 6 and 7, not 7 like Ben said. but I'm just quiet. And I generally stay in my room. And I will, a lot of times, I will wait to come down before my coffee. I'll do my prayer time. I'll come down and have coffee and then kind of put on some incense and nice soft music because I really like this idea. And I think, I mean, it's not just women, but I think women are the kind of the curators of the home. Like they really set the stage and the mood. And I think that's really important in the morning. So I put on soft music and put on incense because I want our day to like start off.
Yeah, you make the home a really nice, pleasant
peaceful
place to be.
I like our kids to wake up to that. I don't like, you know, just this chaos. This is one thing I really do not miss about you boys going to school is getting up in the morning and just rushing like crazy people to get to the bus stop. It's just so chaotic feeling, and I don't feel like it's the best way to just like ease into the day. So I really like setting the stage for the day. And that's one of the reasons why I like to pray before I come down, because I feel like I am in a much better spiritual place. All my cares and all my worries have been, you know, brought before the Lord and not to my family. Not that my family can't help me in those areas, but you know,
yeah,
I
get jealous of you sometimes because you're like up in the bedroom and I walk in on you. A lot of times you have earplugs in, but you have this like special
chair.
Like spiritual meditation devotion chair, and sometimes you're up there for like an hour and a half.
It depends on the day.
deep with God every morning.
Yeah, so
which is so special.
That's how I start my days in prayer, and then I come down and light incense and, you know, get the music going, and then if the boys haven't gotten up you know, within the half hour, I will be like, okay, it's time to get the day going. We got to get started. What?
What half hour is that?
It doesn't happen as much anymore. You guys are actually really better. Yeah.
Yeah. You, well, you have your sunrise alarm clock. Yeah. We'll get to River and Terrence Day later. So, yeah. So keep going, Joseph.
And so then a lot of times I'll just poke around the house and tidy up things because I like, I'm a clean person. And peace and cleanliness are like really important to me. So I'll just, anything that didn't get taken care of the night before, I'll take care of. And then the boys and I will go out to the animals and we'll take care of the animals. We have a pregnant goat right now. My money is that she's going to have her babies today. So we,
could happen during the podcast.
We made bets.
This will be the first podcast where we have background noise of a goat in labor.
I said Saturday.
I said today. So we've been going out and, you know, working together, which I really like doing I think it's great to do with kids just in general, is rather than bossing your kids around and telling them what to do, like going out and taking them out and doing it with them and learning with them. So we've been learning with Toffee on training her on a milk. She's a tough, stubborn goat. But getting her on Toffee. Getting her on the goat stand or the milking stand and, you know, fondling her basically. Mm-hmm. And getting her comfortable with that. And so that's been like a fun thing to learn together. And I'm really excited to see the fruits of that and what will come of that, because we've worked on that for so long and I know that it's gonna be good, even though I had a dream last night. I think I was a little stressed out about it.
So you meditate, you pray, you come down to the incense, the music, you go out with River and Terry and take care of the animals.
And then a lot of time, River and Terry and I will have breakfast together. I know because Ben's humming around getting things ready for the day.
I'm not like a group breakfast guy. I do a quick smoothie.
River and I will do
banging out emails, and you guys do more like a proper breakfast.
Yeah, we normally have breakfast together, and then that's when all our paths kind of part, and we disperse.
I think a lot of people think or wonder if you're like in the morning, if you're like timing your intermittent fast and doing your supplements and your biohacking.
I'm not at all like that.
No, in fact, not at all.
I'm actually very,
I am very yoga.
Much. Yeah. But that's not scheduled.
Yeah.
You it's just whenever
just
I can
randomly
squeeze it
go
in.
To a hot yoga class.
I mean, it means a lot to me. So I do squeeze it in. So it's not like
yoga does, you mean?
Yeah. And so if something means something to me, I will do it. But if it's just kind of like, yeah, I should do more of that. If there's a should in front of anything, I definitely don't like to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a very scheduled person. I'm an artist. So that's my personality too. So I'm much more free flowing and, you know, I'm trying to get into this supplement thing, trying to take my vitamins. Mm-hmm. That's been really hard for me.
I try not to be the person to remind you to do that kind of stuff.
I really am trying to do
better. The shoemaker's wife wears no shoes, as they say. But you wear your shoes sometimes.
But it's it's a lot harder for me to remember those kinds of things because it's just not, like I said, it's not, even though my health is important to me.
People want to know though, like do you work? How would you describe to people what it is that you do? If someone, you know, sitting next to you on an airplane, what do you do? What's your mission in life?
My mission in life is to serve my family, and that's it. And that sounds so simple, but I don't think
it's not.
I don't think people put enough emphasis on what that means for the rest of the world and for myself. To me, it's super fulfilling when I see my kids and my husband fulfilled in their work and I can, you know, do things that make that possible for them.
Yeah. It's kind of that idea that I think women, especially in our day and age, are expected to have a career or encouraged to go out and build a company or join a company or generate income, when in fact, you know, when it comes to one of the things that a woman can do that last time I checked, although there's some controversy about this now, no other like being on the face of the planet can do is to like bring forth children and new offspring into the world, and then equip them and empower them to go forth and be impactful people that change the planet. And I think a lot of times women feel like staying at home and just being with their children or educating their children or influencing their children is like a cop out that you've given up, and that you're just like at home, whatever, barefoot in your dressed, hunched over a kitchen grill.
Here's the deal, though. Sandwiches. I think you could think that way, but to me, it's the power of ruling over your spirit rather than your spirit ruling over you. You know, it's like you take ownership. Like, there have definitely been days where I do laundry and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is insane. These kids like wear 5 outfits a day and go through 5 towels and then you know, there definitely are days like that. But then I have to think about, well, I'm really grateful for the 2 legs that go in these pants and for the little spirits that fill up this home. And you know what I mean? I'm like, I was like, you can definitely be a housewife and be begrudging and hate it and resent your husband and your kids and all those things. I'm like, you could definitely do that. But you have the choice, I guess.
Yeah.
And you really do have the choice. And like I said, there are days where I definitely fail. And there are days that are really great. And like I said earlier, is like, I really, really don't think people understand the power of a peaceful home, the power of a intact home, the stability of it and what it brings to your children and to your husband and, or your wife or whatever, however that dynamic looks for others. There is no price tag you can put on that. It's priceless. Thank you. It is priceless.
Price tagless, at least.
Because we're putting out these young people into the world who have security and peace and a firm foundation. And that's, we need a lot more of that, in my opinion.
So you are mostly here during the day.
I'm here a lot.
When you leave, you do hot yoga, a lot of tennis.
Like, I don't just sit and serve my family all day long. I play tennis.
Tell people what you do during the day.
I love to play tennis. So I'm on a tennis team, and I'm the youngest one. They're all retired women, which is hilarious because some of the things that come out of their mouth are shocking.
Like what?
Just. older women just talking about sex and wine and I'm just like, wow, I never thought that would come out of my mom's mouth.
It doesn't
exactly. So it's just funny when you it's just funny. I love playing with my older ladies. They're fun. And I do yoga and I love to garden, so I spend a lot of time doing that. I'm getting better at canning. I love to ferment. So I like to be self-sufficient. I like to do things for myself.
You spend a lot of times preparing in the kitchen, fermenting and soaking. And
I like to know sprouting. How to do things that like if things went sideways, I know that I have all, I'm equipped.
Yeah. You do a lot of hiking. You do volunteering.
Yeah.
Tell people about that.
I volunteer at a place here in Spokane, for crisis pregnancies. A lot of times young girls or girls in bad home situations or bad relationships that need to be protected from their boyfriends. And then also a lot of times there's men involved and they try to equip those men to be supportive of a crisis pregnancy or of an unplanned pregnancy.
Men who could step in and be a father.
Yeah. 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 So it's not just about the women and the babies, it's also about men, because I really believe that if we can have an intact family, that's the best. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing we can do for society, and also in my opinion, if they have God, that's even better.
Yeah.
So,
what about in the evening? Do you have obviously we explain to people what we do with like dinner and you know all our families all together. So that's what you're doing in the evening. But do you have any special? You know, because we have, again, a lot of people listening, like in the biohacking and the evening routines. Like, do you have things that help you sleep at night? Do you have wind down routine? Do you have things that are non-negotiables for you in the evening or on a regular basis that you do as nighttime activities?
Not really. Magnesium works really great for me.
I mean, do you?
I know that's so boring, but
chili pad.
No, I don't use anything. I honestly like, and this is part of like my personality is I don't like to be dependent on anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be dependent on having to have a glass of wine, even though I love wine and I really do enjoy it. I also like to be dependent on coffee, and I'll take periods of time where I will just totally cut those things out of my life to make sure that I'm actually in control and not the other way around. I don't like to have a chili pad that put me to sleep. If I want to be cold at night, I just stick my feet out at night, you know?
Right. It's like, I actually appreciate, like, I think that in like the biohacking community, well, let me put it this way. Like, I've had people come over here who are just like, their world's going to end and go to hell in a handbasket if they don't have like their blow dryer in the morning or like their special sleep app to put them to sleep at night. And I think that it's a laudable goal. Like, even though it's fun to have all these tools and toys and technologies and hacks and supplements that help life be better for you, you should be able to go off camping in the wilderness and just like have a blanket.
Maybe. Even though
and a knife and just be able to just chillax.
When you guys sleep in those debris hut things, that I don't know if I could do it.
Well, that's a survival thing.
I know.
Ideally, we'd have a tent.
It's warmer than you think it is.
It's not the warmth. It's like all the pokey things and spiders.
Well, for people who don't know what a debris shelter is, when River and Taryn and I go out and we're just doing like no tent camping, we'll spend like 4 or 5 hours basically building a giant shelter that's a bunch of bark and dust and dirt and padding
and
on the bottom.
Like, and then very low.
Yeah. And then it's covered
with... Do you have any claustrophobia?
Let me finish. Covered with a bunch of branches, and then there's like palm fronds and bark, whatever else we can find on top of that, and then a bunch of dirt. You're basically building like a giant human-sized squirrel nest. And when you all climb in there and you're all bundled up together, it's actually surprisingly warm.
I could do it. I just would not prefer it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be enjoyable.
Matter of fact, last time we did it, we were out way up above Sandpoint, Idaho, and it was like a super cold night. And I had to get out of the debris shelter and sleep under the stars because I was so hot. Snuggled in between River and Taryn. So
we're really warm.
So kind of leading off on that question, Jessa, people want to know, like, if you find meaning and joy and purpose and passion, or how you find meaning and joy and purpose and passion. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound maybe wrong to some people, but just like being at home all day, like how do you even just like find purpose in that?
I find purpose in it because I believe that God has loaned these children to me. They are not my own, but he has entrusted them to me. And so to do that well, that is one of the greatest callings I can have. I mean, I don't just birth children into the world and not care for them. And, and like in a way that I know is meaningful and really full. So caring for my family and then also my husband, like being able to, for him to have confidence in me to care for our family. So like when he leaves, cause Ben travels, you know, like knowing that things are going to remain intact, like our, you know, meditations and things like that. Like I want my husband to have full confidence in me to be able to continue all of this that's happening here along with a lot of other help. We have a beautiful people who help us here at the house. I'm not doing everything, but, you know, I want my husband to not worry when he leaves. I want my husband when he comes home to just long to come home. Like I want home to be like
you don't mean when I come
sanctuary.
Home from work. You mean like if I'm like, out traveling?
Yeah, or, I want this our home to be a sanctuary. I want it to be a place that is like people want to come back to. It's comfortable. It's peaceful. It's joyful. There's gratitude. We all work hard. You know what I mean? Nobody's slacking off here. We all have things that we're working hard at. Like you know. And I like growing things in my garden because it provides for my family. It's amazing to be able to give that to your family. Like, that's amazing to me. So,
yeah.
I just like to give. I'm a giver.
Yeah. Well, I can say just objectively from my standpoint that I mean, your days are so jam packed with just like
it's random
making
things.
This home an amazing and beautiful place, and being with River and Taryn, that I would say, like, you know, the only loss of purpose or loss of passion or loss of joy would be derived from you feeling as though you weren't doing what all the other women are doing and building a career and working on your webpage.
I've done
having
that,
a brand
and I'm okay and, with and, not doing that.
Yeah,
anymore.
And like I think it's again, like I think that sometimes in our society the importance and vast meaning of being a mother and a matriarch and a homemaker is sometimes something women feel like it's not what they're supposed to be doing, when in fact it is probably the most important and most meaningful thing that a woman can do.
And honestly, like my prayer is always like that my kids will grow up into these mighty men of God who love him and forsake the world and seek after God. And the only way that that is ever going to happen is if they learn it from me. Mm-hmm. And you, mm-hmm. And if we're not constantly growing, our kids aren't growing. And so even though I'm a stay at home mom, it's a constant growth and constant progression. You know, the way I dealt with stress 3 years ago is not how I deal with stress now. I'm hoping is apparent to people all around, you know, so you, even though you're at home, you're constantly learning and you're constantly growing, and it's not like you're just this stagnant, like, person who just folds laundry and cooks meals. Yeah. I'm like, I spend a lot of time growing myself.
You do fold a pretty good, darn good towel, though. Towels very symmetrically. Well, I want to make sure that we have a chance to address, like, a lot, like some of the other questions as well.
Yes.
So River and Taryn, you got a similar question. What's like a lot of people, like, what's this whole unschooling, homeschooling thing look like? And not only that, but, you know, what's a day in your guys' life look like? You know, kind of similar to our mom explained, like how does a typical day look like for you? Even though I know it's not the same, just like dad's day isn't the same every day, but what are some staples that you would say really define what your day looks like as far as like, you know, when you get up, how you get up, what do you do when you first get up? You know, what are some of the things you do during the day? What do you eat? A lot of people want to know like what kind of things you eat.
Food.
So fill us in on what a typical day in the life of River and Taryn looks like. And I know you guys are sharing a microphone, but I'll let you figure that out.
It starts usually like at 6 o'clock when our like alarm clock, it's like a bird alarm clock, and it goes off.
Sunrise alarm clock. Which is great. Gradually, I think that's great, especially for gradually waking up if you do need to use an alarm, like the gradual light that flows in from the alarm clock.
So like 6 o'clock, and then like I get up like kind of slowly just because I don't like getting up really straight away. So I take like 10 minutes like snuggling the dogs, kind of stretching and stuff. And then usually it's like Bible reading to like 6:30, 6:40. After that, kind of like...
You read your Bible while you're laying in bed, snuggling with the dogs.
Yep. After that, it's just like kind of do whatever you want.
Dogs is also a big part.
It's a big part of your life.
Yeah. Do whatever you want, really, to like we do meditation. And then usually after meditation, sometimes before, we do the animals. And
you mean the meditation that we talked about that we all come together and do as a family.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like breakfast, and then we start school.
And what's breakfast look like for you guys?
Oh, breakfast.
Most times it's a Dutch baby, which is like a sugarless, awesome pancake thing.
That's like not like a pancake, but it's like also like at the same time. Like
It's a very eggy, protein-y.
Yeah.
Pancake.
And we have a lot of eggs, so it's usually something that we do when you have too many eggs.
Or too much milk.
You guys are a real big, like, eggs, bacon, might be considered to be versus dad's weird superfood smoothies. Like, if people saw it on the table, they'd be like, oh, yeah, it's like a traditional American breakfast, except without the orange juice and toast and chocolatey cereal. Sourdough bread. Yep.
Occasionally magic spoon cereal.
Mm-hmm. You guys do, if you do cereal, which is occasionally do that.
It's more of like a snack thing.
Magic spoon or overnight oatmeal. Overnight, like you do that sometimes.
Yeah, like it's
or
a lot
leftovers.
Of, it's just, we like breakfast stuff, so it's mostly breakfast things or also leftovers if we don't have time.
Mm-hmm. And then between breakfast and let's say lunch, just using meals as an easy way to kind of partition the day. For you guys, even though, again, it's very different from day to day, but what are some of the key activities that you guys are doing during a day of, like, unschooling? Meaning, and I've explained this before, I've got big podcasts on unschooling, but essentially, like, very, very quickly, the best way I can describe it is that homeschooling, which is how I was raised, typically involves you've got a set curriculum, you're sitting around the kitchen table all day with books, taking tests, learning. Essentially, you're doing the equivalent of what someone might do at public school, but at home, and then sometimes going to activities or group learnings with other homeschoolers mm-hmm. in the community. Whereas unschooling, it's a lot more of just like doing life and learning from yeah. life experiences with still a little bit of curriculum thrown in, like math or Spanish, like you were doing this morning.
Guitar.
But for the most part, a little less structured and a little more experiential based, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the type of things you're doing between breakfast and lunch?
Unschooling.
Yeah, lots of unschooling. Usually planned classes are in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Planned classes.
Mm-hmm. You mean like if you are going to do like a math class or a Spanish class, those are taking place in the morning.
Or it's like planned classes, homework, and art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then lunch is usually like some sort of sandwich or leftover. Most lunches are like leftovers or sandwiches.
We mm-hmm. like our sandwiches.
Or like a dip with like some like crackers. I don't know what the kind of crackers that we have now, but it's usually like things that we just have that we're just going to whip together real quick, mm-hmm. and then we go outside, play with dogs, play with friends for something for like 30 minutes, and then we come back in.
How do you guys even have friends if you don't go to school?
People wonder that. We have friends named Otto and Gavin who come over and they help their dad.
So those are your only friends?
No,
just come over.
We're still from some school that we used to go to that we call mm-hmm. and stuff.
Yeah, friends from school that you've gone to in the mm-hmm. past, friends from church,
mm-hmm.
Jiu-jitsu friends, tennis friends. What else? What are the other places you see or hang out with your peers?
Tennis, jiu-jitsu, church, old school friends, people that come around from the house, people mm-hmm. from Moscow,
cousins,
people down the road.
Yeah. You guys are with other peers or kids your age just about every day,
mm-hmm.
like in some sense or another. It's just you're not like sitting in a classroom with them.
Yeah.
You're just kind of organically seeing other kids, whether it's at a jiu-jitsu or a tennis class that you're at, or whether it's, you know, people swinging by the house to play, or other people who are homeschooled or unschooled in the community who might have similar schedules who can hang out during the day. Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys actually do see a lot of other peers. Yeah. And then, you know, for you guys, what are some of the main activities that you would say you learn from, you know, whether we're talking about like Kamana and wilderness survival and stuff like that, or you would consider to be kind of like part of your education that aren't just like math or Spanish or learning from a book or online?
Usually our cooking classes, like
our podcast.
Yeah, podcast is pretty, yeah, you learn a lot, and it's
we paint murals on our wall.
Oh yeah, lots mm-hmm. of painting. We like painting and drawing and stuff like that.
Kamana, like you said, which is like,
explain to people what Kamana is.
It's a wilderness awareness thing where you can do sit spots or animal tracking, or
it's basically learning
plants.
It's learning like the analog world through mm-hmm. like forests and animals mm-hmm. and like
so it's a whole series. Yeah. It's like a multi-year series mm-hmm. of wilderness awareness, wilderness immersion, and wilderness survival. And your guys' is facilitated by the Twin Eagles Wilderness School.
Yeah.
So you have like calls every month with the guy who runs the school. You go out there sometimes for camps and classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these books where you go out, like tell people, for example, about the sit spots that you do.
It's basically a spot in the,
sit there for like
yeah, it's like
minutes,
a spot in the forest where you kind of like, you know, and like you try to stay really quiet so you can like see animals or see how your spot is changing. It's basically being just like being in like a place that's special then that so you can see like the changes and mm-hmm. what like the forest is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do a lot of observing.
Even if it's not the forest, it could be like the middle of the river, but I wouldn't advise that.
And what are some of the other things that you guys are doing, for example, in the afternoon that you would consider to be like learning or education or school-based activities?
Usually sports is also, sports is in the afternoon, like tennis and jiu-jitsu, and then we have youth group on Wednesdays. That's not exactly sports, but
there's like games.
Yeah, but we do music in the afternoons, sports in the afternoons, any like catch-up work or reading work or homework mm-hmm. that we have to do too sometimes. Mm-hmm. We're not fully done.
How often are you reading?
Often. At night, at
morning,
lunch,
night are
morning, night, and
like how many books a week would you say you guys read?
Depends. We have a lot of books that we reread a lot, so I'd say we have a lot of comic books that we like reading, like Tintin and Calvin mm-hmm. and Hobbes and Asterix and
mm-hmm. yeah, you guys are into both creating graphic yeah. novels and comic books and reading
say
them.
Two to three.
Yeah.
I'd say it depends on the size of the book. If it's a graphic, depending, I probably read like 2-3 graphic novels a week, but like chapter books, I read like one a week, so probably 4 books a week.
I would say you guys are probably reading like probably a good 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Easily. For sure. Easily. Yeah, which is about what, you know, Dad's usually reading, about 2 to 3 hours a day. How about screen time, social media, phone? Like, people want to know. People are always like, how do you limit social media in your home? Or how do you encourage healthy eating in your home? I mean, if I could speak to that, I use my phone for work. Mm-hmm. A lot, like everything from the social media apps that I need to use, or, you know, emails I need to send to my team. I probably use my phone more than anybody else in the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For business. I joke with people, like, I don't really know what people are referring to when they say they scroll through a feed. Mm-hmm. Or like, look, cause I don't, that's a foreign concept to me to actually just like open my phone and open up a feed and scroll through it. Like, if I open up my phone, it's almost purely for utilitarian business-based purposes and work. Mom is usually like, you know, music or listening to an audiobook or something like that. And River and Taryn each have eye touches that you guys use for your podcast, for photography.
It's not really for listening
to music occasionally. But our family, our use of phones has always been very purposeful and mindful. And they're like, we don't have any screen time rules in our house at all.
There is no rules on
TV watching time. There's no rules on video game time. There's no rules on phone time. But the thing is, like, our family has never really been a
family
that just mindlessly consumes content or looks at screens. And so there is no rule. There's no, like, hours. Look at screens as much as you want, but understand that the amount of time that you spend on those or how you use them is time. Like, how you spend your days, as we were talking about this morning, is how you spend your life. And we really don't have a lot of rules in our house. We don't like, people think that we're like, don't touch that, it's got gluten in it, or you get 1 hour a day on the screens. We basically, like, Jess and I have always had the parenting approach of have a very purpose-filled life in which you are self-actualized and love what you're doing so much that other meaningless things that distract you from that aren't even attractive to you. And then understand the consequences, you know, like River and Taryn understand that if they eat a whole, whatever, Pizza Hut pizza, they're going to feel like crap the next day. They've seen, you know, we've taken anatomy and physiology.
They know what it does to their cells.
But like, they both know that if they walked in here with a large Pizza Hut pizza, it's totally up to them if they want to just punish that whole thing and follow it up with a pint of Ben and Jerry's. There's no, like, Dad's not going to walk in and say, no, don't eat that. It's just like, yeah, do it, but here's how you're going to feel tomorrow. Or same thing with, like, phones. Like, neither of you guys have a phone, but you both know if you wanted a phone, like, right now, Dad's told you, like, take your money, go buy a phone, use it responsibly. It's your budget, and it's totally up to you. You guys also know that if, you know, if you wanted to, like, go downstairs after this podcast and watch TV the rest of the day, there's no rules. Like, you guys could totally do that. But you don't, because I think – you kind of understand how that could potentially turn into an act of just kind of wasting your life, because how you spend your days is how you spend your life. And B, like, that's not what mom and dad do.
Like, at the end of the day, we're playing family games and
reading books. And when Dad's got downtime, I've got a book in my face. And if I'm whipping my phone out and just, like, scrolling through my phone, it's not for, like, I'm doing work on it. And so, yeah, we really, like, people are surprised because we have a surprisingly low number of actual nutrition rules in our house, like, don't eat this, don't eat that. It's more concepts of, this is just what we do. We eat healthy food. We don't burn our eyeballs out on screens all day. But I can't think of many hard and fast rules in our home that go beyond just, like, you know, the Ten Commandments, like, don't murder, don't lie, don't steal. Like those are the kind of things that are rules in our home. But, you know, aside from that, like, we got so many questions about, like, how do you get your kids to eat healthy food? Well, how do you force screen time rules? We just don't. We instead focus on educating about the consequences and focusing on what's important in life. Mm-hmm. And if you're purpose-filled and focus on what's important in life, you don't need rules for all that other stuff.
Plus, I think I'd like to speak a little bit to the eating. Our kids have always been allowed and involved in the kitchen, which I think was super formative for them, because Like they, when they were young enough to like peel labels off or take stickers off of produce or wash produce, they were always invited to be in the kitchen with us. Like that wasn't an off limits thing. And honestly, now they cook almost all their own meals. I don't even have to cook a lot of them other than dinner. Mm-hmm. And then we do breakfast together, but always allow like always allowing them to be a part of, or they're contributing to,
right. Understanding food.
Yeah.
Like when we go out to a restaurant, for mm-hmm. example, mm-hmm. you know, and let's say we go to Wild Sage and you guys get polenta fries. Mm-hmm. This isn't some foreign object in front of you. Like, mm-hmm. you know what corn is. You know what polenta is. You understand that, you know, some corn is GMO and some corn is non-GMO. You understand mm-hmm. all the subtleties of that wonderful, what's the spicy berry sauce that they bring out with it, or the lavender butter. Mm-hmm. It's like the best way I can describe it is if you can sit down in front of any meal mm-hmm. and kind of understand how to reverse engineer that and what mm-hmm. went into it and how it was created because you spent time in the kitchen creating, mm-hmm. food becomes something that you're not afraid of. Food becomes something that you understand when it comes to knowing what it may or may not do to your gut, to your cells, et cetera. But a big part of that is just freaking cooking from an early age. Just yeah. like understanding food doesn't come from packages and containers. You like make it from mm-hmm. scratch. I think that's the best thing that we've done with River and Taryn.
Yeah.
Is they've just learned to cook from scratch and they understand what's in food. Isn't just like this mysterious thing.
Yeah. Well, know? And that was always like really important to me specifically. Cause I was like, if you don't teach your kids how to cook and eat, like that's like basic self care. Like yeah. if you can't cook for yourself, you can't eat for yourself. And mm-hmm. then you are at somebody else's whim and they can put whatever the heck they want right. in there. You know, it can be the cheap stuff. It can be the good stuff, whatever. So like if you, it's just like anything. If you want to, you have to learn that stuff to care, be able to care for yourself. And mm-hmm. so that was always very, very important to me that they would always, that they knew how to cook and that they, you know, could do those things for themselves. Cause when they get out from under my roof, they're going to have, you know, all yeah. kinds of things available to them. And I want them to like feel confident enough in the, like the kitchen to yeah. be able to
you,
produce.
You teach a person of, it's like with fitness, right? So people who are working with a personal trainer their entire life, either A, are doing because they dig the motivation and being able to outsource and not have decision-making fatigue and just wake up in the morning, know what workout they're supposed to do. But an ideal scenario, and this was always my mentality when I was doing a lot of personal training with people and still do, mm-hmm. I'd rather teach a person to fish. I'd rather say, okay, well, you know this week you need to do a hinging movement, a squatting movement, a pressing movement, a pulling movement, some mobility, some VO2 max, some mitochondrial work, and some lactic acid work. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't have someone to write out your workouts for you, mm-hmm. you kind of sort of know what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with food. It's like, yeah, you should be able to just like open up any diet book or cookbook on the face of the planet and automatically know, or at least know pretty quickly, oh, this is going to agree with me and this could be useful and this could be tasty and also healthy. Mm-hmm. And if you start, whether you're a child listening right now or a parent, like if you just start to begin to make things for yourself and make meals for yourself in the same way, if you start to program some of your own workouts, like you're going to be able to decode that a lot more quickly.
Kids are more likely to eat the things that they've made. Mm-hmm. Like because yeah. they just are, because they get excited about it. Kids mm-hmm. do really like to be in the kitchen. Like yeah. it's fun. And when they make something, they're generally more likely to eat it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I think that people could probably kind of see the type of things that River and Taryn are cooking and discovering and learning and educating other mm-hmm. people about in the food environment. If they were to go, you know, shameless plug, go to listen to their podcast at gogreenfields.com. I think this is also going to be a podcast on Go Greenfields as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be cross-posted on both those platforms. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, so many people are curious about the rules and how do you get the kids to do this and how do you keep them from doing that? It's not about that. Yeah. It's about empowering with the knowledge of both what goes into any given activity, whether it's screen time or social media or food, and also the consequences mm-hmm. of the wrong decisions in that department, mm-hmm. rather than setting up all these rules, which of course creates, and I don't think there's a mystery to anybody, forbidden fruit. Like if we're sitting around the dinner table, you guys, and dad, mom bring out our glass of wine and say, you guys are not allowed to touch alcohol until you're 18. It creates a totally different mental scenario than if dad pours you some of the wine in a little shot glass and says, taste this. This is a Bordeaux from the western side of France. It says, you know, from this organic farm, and here's a little QR code we can scan and actually see where it came from. Here's some of the tasting notes. You taste that. It's not like you're going to sneak a bottle of wine away from our wine cabinet when you're 16 and go get drunk in your bedroom because you've never had wine before. It's like, you know, it's all about, you know, just having a deep, intimate relationship with your food and from an early age. So I know we're getting close to the amount of time, but we're going to rapid fire a few other questions.
Okay.
Rapid fire. River and Taryn, do you take any supplements? And if so, what supplements do you take?
Fish oil, glutathione. We're going to take stress movers like, soon.
Liver capsules?
Yeah, liver capsules. Yeah. We take Keon aminos?
Yeah, and then stress mover. We had like a nutrigenomics analysis recently with a doctor or with Terry Cochran. She recommended a few different supplements to you guys based on your nutrigenomics analysis. But yeah, like you guys take lion's mane because both you and dad need help with making more brain-derived neurotrophic factor. You take glutathione to help with some of the glutathione pathways that we discovered your genetics need help with. And then you take liver just as like a nature's multivitamin.
Yep.
I think those are the main ones that you guys take. And then just like real whole food. Yeah. And then you, like dad, you wake with a giant mason glass full of really good water. So let's see. Another, maybe kind of a rapid fire. Somebody asked this. I thought it was interesting. I saw this come through twice. Is it weird living in a family where some of your life is in public? Like having a dad who's a social media guy or who's, on videos and stuff or TV, or, you know, we're out in public. If somebody, you know, knows who your family is, how does that feel for you?
Well, it's not like you're like videoing us sleeping or something.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah.
We are. You just don't know.
You don't know everything, so it's not like that bad.
But I guess life as a public figure or life living with a family, because not every family is just like sitting around doing a podcast on a Monday that a bunch of people are going to listen to. Like, do you think it's weird to, I guess, be known to a certain extent or be a part of a public family?
It's a little weird. It'd be a little weird to me if the world knew that you're the son of the dad who ate a raw testicle. But other than that, it's pretty good.
Testicle boy.
Well, now they all know.
Now they do know.
Because of you. Yeah. You let them all know.
Yeah, well, if you're helping people, then it's
not super weird.
Yeah.
It's weird for me. Like when last time we were in Las Vegas, we couldn't walk through any casino without somebody wanting like a photo or to stop and ask me a question or something. And that's still super weird for me. And I'm going through an airport and somebody like walks by me and takes my book out of their bag and wants it signed. Because like for me personally, like I set about to do what I do to like take information that I thought was really cool. And whenever I come across stuff, I'm like, oh, so many other people should know this. I got to tell them somehow.
Yeah.
And so I did the podcast and the blog to do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's weird for me, especially being like a private kind of introverted guy. Like when people know who I am, like that's, it's still, it doesn't annoy me. It's just weird. I'm like, how does this person even know who I am? This is just so odd that, you know, cause I don't work on my business in a sense of like wanting to be seen by a lot of people as much as put a lot of helpful information out there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is kind of, I don't know. What about you, babe? Is it weird for you?
Oh, well, I mean, for River and Taryn, I'm like, that's all they've ever known. So
yeah, that's true.
It's not, I don't, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and you know what you know. And
we don't know a lot of people.
I think it was hard for me at first because my dad he was just such, you know, like such a quiet, humble person. Not that you're not humble, but I mean, you would not, you know what I mean? And so that's what I grew up with. He would go work. My dad was a rancher. He would go ranch. He'd come home. We'd have dinner, you know, and it was just a very normal, very, very traditional family. So it was hard for me to kind of come into all of this with you initially.
Yeah.
And I was, and so, cause to me it just did not like, that's not what I grew up with. And so I was just kind of like, what is this? Who are these people? Who are these people? You know?
Right.
So I grew up with a very, just different.
But I mean, even from the time we got married, you know, for me being just like a personal trainer in the local community, we'd be eating dinner and people would come up and like look over my plate and be like, oh, what's Ben eating?
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, you have fries on your plate. What's going on there? And, you know, I think it's always been that way to a certain extent, like not knowing anything that's super different. Like your husband has always been like travel around the world doing races and bodybuilding and all this. So sometimes it's just like the norm of what you became accustomed to. But for me, it is weird just because I'm not like an actor or something. It's not my desire or prime goal to be a well-known public figure, but it's just kind of happened as a result of putting information out there. So yeah, I don't think it's weird as much as it's just, I don't know.
It took me a while to get used to sometimes. And just kind of be like,
Yeah.
Why do people care?
Yeah. You know? All right. Here's another one. And you know, this one would be a good one to wrap on because I actually have to go get an MRI on my knee here in a little bit. But what is it that you guys think allows our family to be in a good mood? Like, we get that comment a lot. You guys seem like you're in a good mood. You're happy. You're joyful. Like, we don't seem like we're like a sad family or we kind of seem like we're savoring life quite a bit. Mm-hmm. What would you guys say allows you to be happy and joyful or makes you feel as though our family is a happy family?
God?
Doing what
I love to do, drawing and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I would.
So self-actualized? Yeah. God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I just feel like there's always so much to be grateful for and to be joyful for. I was like, yeah. And it's not like we haven't had hard times. I'm like, I don't want people to think that at all. I was like, it's not like we don't ever get down or have a hard time.
I don't know. I just thought of this. Maybe it would be a good way to kind of like, and it would also be a nice way to put a bow on this podcast. Maybe we should just read people what our Greenfield family mission statement is. Because would you guys be game for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe
give you some insight and what
do you want me to read it?
Tick. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll read you guys our mission statement and we'll kind of leave you packing with this, but we'll put all the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/greenfield4. But I would say us having a mission statement and being really connected to these elements of our mission statement, I think for me that's what fuels us, keeps us happy, and just gives us almost like confidence and an inner knowing that everything is gonna be okay.
Yep.
Because we know why God put us on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's how our mission statement goes. You guys want me to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it in front of you.
Okay.
I know.
We are the Greenfields.
Mighty
Greenfields. That's actually an old cartoon. We are the Greenfields. We live to faithfully shine the light of God's love and Christ's sacrifice to the world by savoring and sharing his creation. We believe in the absolute truth of God's word and commit to daily immersing ourselves in the wisdom of scripture, prayer, and communion with God. We are lovers of life and savor all of creation with a spirit of curiosity, adventure, lightheartedness, community building, and sharing our joy with everybody, knowing that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. We know that each of our blessings are gifted through grace for us to steward, to share, and to enjoy with an abundant spirit of generosity. In all of our relationships, we prize, prioritize, and commit to love, sacrifice, forgiveness, radical honesty, transparency, and truth. We know that we are uniquely created in God's divine image and called as makers to intelligently create beauty that shines forth his glory. Our yes is our yes, our no is our no, and we are dependable leaders who endure and persevere through all, learning to be content with a spirit of gratitude and peace, no matter our circumstances. We embrace, in a spirit of full humility, our interdependence and need for deep present connection with our ancestors, our community, our planet, and our legacy. We fully trust that as fruits of our faithful obedience, God's promises and blessings will extend to our family, our children, their children, and 1,000 generations beyond, so that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Amen.
And that's our mission statement. So yeah, I think for me, it's just like knowing my purpose, being connected to God, and then having, like we were talking about earlier, all these little rituals and habits and routines from like, you know, there were a few we didn't talk about, like mom and I always pray together before we fall asleep at night. And then our morning meditation and our evening meditation and our family hug in the morning and our family dinner. It's like those are the little things that just stack, that build up. And I think the times when I feel most down or least connected from my life's purpose is when, like, I've been traveling a whole bunch, and all those little rocks that hold our family together throughout the day kind of get neglected or aren't as consistent a part of the daily routine.
Yeah.
That's about the only time I feel as though there's like a hole in my soul, like kind of a disconnect. But man, when we're doing all the kind of little things that we share with folks today and just weaving that in, like, I just feel like it's hard not to be happy.
Yeah. So, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Agreed.
Yep. Yep. Well, any last statements anybody want to throw in there?
Nope.
No?
No.
Well, I hope this has been helpful for people and not just us, you know, shooting the so-called shiat around the kitchen table. But again, if you guys have questions, comments, feedback, stuff you want to hear that maybe we didn't talk about, like River and Taryn and Jess and I, we'll go look at the comment section after and all of us can pipe in and reply to you guys. But just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Greenfield4. That's Greenfield the number 4. And thank you for listening in.
And
everybody say goodbyes.
Goodbye.
Bye. Have a good day.
All right, everybody. Later.
Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at bengreenfieldfitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.